A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It is sunny day. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, hey, it's a sunny day.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. A shortened edition. Yes, BYU is taking over our show again this morning. We will have KSL pregame coverage of the game, BYU versus Baylor, beginning at 10 o'clock. But for now, get your questions, comments in early. You can call us at 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. You missed me last week, didn't you, Ton?
I did miss you.
Aw. It was, you know, I did have a nice day off. I will say that we went down to St. George and enjoyed some of the beautiful cacti and other plants down there. I did take some pictures and put them on our Facebook page to share. And you know what? There are some really beautiful desert plants out there.
There are. Many of them bloom in the fall when it's starting to cool down. And so it's not like you get a second spring, but I've been seeing on social media people posting pictures of daisies and just a lot of different things, and the desert is very beautiful in the fall.
And when those cacti do bloom, they do have beautiful blooms, I must say. Beautiful flowers.
They really do.
This morning, we wanted to start out with burning bush, and burning bush is one of those problematic plants that starts to turn red this time of year and looks beautiful when it does look beautiful.
Yes, it's one of those plants that people have a lot of angst over, and they are supposed to turn this brilliant red, and when they do, they're spectacular. But I was driving my neighborhood today, and probably a full two-thirds of them didn't look so hot, and there were a few that did. And
is that drought-related?
It is. You know, with drought restrictions, it really does impact the burning bush. And burning bush are native to climates that have regular water through rain and snow, and then they're cooler and more humid. And we plant them here in the desert and expect them to do the same thing. There are some things we can do, though, to help them keep their color. So,
what can we do?
What you would do
water,
is
for one thing.
Water every 7 to 10 days. You know, one thing that we can do through the drought is keep our shrubs and trees healthy. You know, the grass can go dormant and it will come back, but those shrubs and trees need to be maintained. Burning bush is moderately drought tolerant, but not what we would consider a desert plant at all. So it needs to be deep watered every 7 to 10 days, about 10 inches deep into the soil, and then fertilized in mid-March and sometime in May with triple 16 fertilizer or 16-16-8. What this does is it keeps its nutrient levels up, and it makes it less susceptible to a lot of different fungal diseases for some reason by keeping that nutrition up. You do need to keep an eye out for scale and spider mites and a few things, but generally, if they're fertilized and watered, they're likely to color up in the fall. The other thing is that they don't color up nearly as nicely if they're planted in afternoon shade.
I talk about them being my burning bushes, but they're actually in my neighbor's yard, right on the boundary of the two yards, and they are fairly old. What is the lifetime of burning bush?
28 to 25 years at least.
Okay.
I've seen them
these
around
have been here
longer.
That long. Yeah.
You know, if you see really old ones that were planted before the dwarf burning bush came out, they could easily get 10 to 12 feet high.
Oh, these are really old ones.
Yeah, so they're quite old. The what we call Euonymus elatus variety compactus, which is the Latin name saying compact. People assume 2 to 3 feet, but about 5 or 6 feet for the popular modern variety. There's a few other dwarf varieties out there like Rudy Hague. They're a little less common. I think Proven Winners may have a few that are more compact, but the standard one without trimming gets about 6 feet.
So do the newer varieties have a shorter lifespan?
It seems like they may, just because they may not be as deeply rooted. I just see as I drive around, even in a year where we have plenty of water, probably 25 or 30% of them don't color up. But in my neighborhood and where I drove through Payson, Santa Quinn into Orem, there are a lot of them that just haven't colored up. And they, due to the drought, they may not.
So are they supposed to be in full color right now? I don't want to say full bloom because it's actually the leaves that turn the
leaves.
Color.
They should be, or they should be getting there quickly. And what will happen is the ones that are more exposed to the elements will color at first, and the ones that are more protected will take a longer period of time. So up against buildings, you know, if they're surrounded by things that block the wind, that will delay their coloring up by a week or two. But yes, they should be coming into full color soon if they are not.
And these things that you're talking about that will help them, would it actually help them this season, or are we talking in the future?
Don't fertilize in the fall on woody plants. You'd need to fertilize next year and see if that helps out. You know, I think the thing that the other thing people see besides them not coloring up is that you'll have a row of 8 or 10 of them. And then after 10 years, all of a sudden in the middle of the row, two perfectly healthy plants just die within a week. And that's root disease. And that's the purpose of the fertilizer, is to try to keep that at bay.
All right. We have put much more up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You will find a worksheet or, you know, more information on the burning bush. So you want to check that out. Again, we put a lot of great information on our KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, even when we don't have a show. Well, your calls and questions are coming in a shortened hours, so we're going to come back with those next. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. This first question is coming from Mark in Kaysville, and Ton, he wants to know, he says, we've had a couple of frosts now. Peach, apricot, almond, and Concord leaves haven't changed colors or started to drop. And he's wondering, are they going to be stuck on the trees and vines again this year?
I think we need to be patient. We haven't had extremely cold temperatures yet. Coldest we've been is down into the high 20s for most areas of the Wasatch Front. As long as the weather holds, they will turn and we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've noticed in the orchards that the apples, a lot of the apples, a lot of the cherries still are in, you know, full color. The peaches have started to drop. But I just be patient and it will come.
Is it bad for them to keep their leaves?
Or is it just
annoying for us because they drop them later in the season?
If they keep their leaves and they get really hard frost, it can hurt, sometimes harm the branches because they haven't been able to go through the full process of going dormant. And so the process of dropping leaves is physiological, to where the plant withdraws nutrients and carbohydrates from the leaves, and the leaves start to break down. And the plant has to physically actually form what's called an abscission layer at where the leaf meets the branch, and the leaves fall off, when the plant is ready. And if that happens too soon, you oftentimes get the leaves frozen onto the trees. Now, will it kill them? Usually not. We had 2 years in a row where we went down into the teens, you know, or five, you know, in early October, and most everything came through. There were peaches that were damaged, things that were drought stressed were damaged or maybe had iron deficiencies, but for the most part, plants came through.
All right, we have a call from Bonnie in Sandy. Good morning, Bonnie. What is your question?
Hi, I've got some pots that I put out during the summer. Last year, I experimented putting a plastic bag over my strawberry pot, put it in the garage, and it came through really well during the winter. And now I have to deal with some begonias, some caladium, and some mandevillas. Can I winter them over in the garage in the same way, or what should I do with them?
The caladiums, maybe, but the begonias, you would want to let them die back with the frost. And yes, you can store them, but what you would do is once they kind of go yellow and brown is lift them out of the pot and just let them cure at, you know, for several days so that the soil dries. You can just carefully clean them off. And then once you've cured them for several days, wrap them in newspaper or put them in just barely moist potting soil or sawdust and store them at about 50 to 55 degrees. So if your garage stays at that temperature, that's great. But if it gets colder than that, you may want to move them to your basement. Now on the mandevilla, I honestly would just compost it and get a new one in the spring. They're not worth trying to overwinter because you bring them in, and even if you have a greenhouse, they're going to have some aphids, some spider mites, and invariably they just end up contaminating all the other plants in the house and just become a problem because there's no natural predators holding those bad, quote-unquote, bad insects and other vertebrates, you know, back.
Okay. Well, that helps me a lot. Thank you very much. Oh, hey, and you mentioned about the leaves on the tree. So is there a chance that my maple will someday have a yellow leaves in the fall?
What kind of maple is it?
I don't know. It's a tall maple. But for the last 2 years and now this third year, the leaves are turning brown and falling off. They haven't gone yellow.
It could be that you got a bit cold. That's why it's happening. But normally, as the tree goes through its physiological processes, yes, those leaves should be either turning yellow, orange, or red, depending on the species.
Okay. All right. I'll just hope for next year then.
All right, Bonnie, thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in this morning. Our next listener, Ton, says, is it best to till a garden in the fall or the spring?
It is good to do both. And it depends on your theory and your philosophy. When I say this, I'm not advocating wholesale tilling, but I have permission from USU soil scientists to perform two tillings a year, mm-hmm. one in the spring and one in the fall.
Man, I'm lucky to get it done once, honestly.
So the advantage to tilling is that it incorporates the organic matter into the soil, and it helps reduce pests that may be infesting your garden. It reduces the number of squash bugs and reduces the number of grasshoppers mm-hmm. in the immediate area. The disadvantages are that a lot of times you're tilling up beneficial insect habitat and areas that they would use to also overwinter. And so there's a mixed bag, but generally I like to till in the fall because I'll put leaves on my garden. And then I will also till in the spring, especially if I'm doing compost, so that I can get that compost, again, incorporated into the soil for my spring application. If you're not doing leaves, you can also do compost in the fall, and if you're following a traditional gardening method. But there are horticulturists and many gardeners out there that follow what's called no-till, and they will use slow composting to where they just put stuff on top of the soil and let it work its way in a little more slowly. A lot of times they get their soil to the point that they can just go out and dig with a shovel mm-hmm. or turn the soil with a spade. That is a lot of work. If you're out of shape and you want to have a heart attack, that's the way to do it. Oh. So If you ever try a technique called double digging, but if you're in shape, it's fine and you can adjust to it. But
okay, a little at a time.
Yeah,
it's probably not going to happen all this fall.
I use limited tilling in my yard. I don't go crazy because, especially in clay soil, over tilling destroys the soil sucker or the soil. Not the soil suckers, the soil texture.
The second part of their question was what and how much fertilizer and when should that be put down?
It depends on what they're doing. You know, if they're putting a lot of leaves down, then just an application of a nitrogen fertilizer that is inexpensive, you don't need a slow release or anything, will help break it down more quickly. If you went out and put, say, wood shavings in your garden for some reason and did a couple inches, you absolutely would have to put nitrogen down to get that stuff broken down and ready for spring, because nitrogen is absorbed by soil microorganisms to break down things, and it becomes a limited nutrient in the soil if there's too much organic matter in there that is hard to break down. So I believe the rate's about 1 pound of nitrogen per 100 pounds of not compost, but brown material, like wood shavings or bark or something like that.
All right. We need to break for the bottom of the hour news. And when we come back, Adrian, your call is up next. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.